This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Unfortunately, the first officer that was on scene for the California Highway Patrol that made the initial traffic stop, he was transported by air ambulance to Riverside University Health Center, where he was pronounced deceased as a result of the gunfire from the suspect.
What a way to open this show. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Boy, a salute to all the highway patrolmen and what they go through. You just heard California Highway Patrol Assistant Chief Scott Parker. This is out of Riverside, California. So a patrol officer dead, another in critical condition, a third minor injuries after a horrible shootout that also killed the gunman. Here's what happened. It was just a routine deal. They pulled over a white pickup truck filling out the paperwork. The driver pulled a rifle out and then began firing. So the officer is wounded, called for help, airlifted to the hospital, but then died of his wounds, as you heard there. Andrew Moye Jr., devastating. He was 34 years old. And then there, when the gunfire erupts, then you've got two other CHIP officers who were hit before he was killed. They don't even know what happened. Why did he attack? It's very unclear even why the car was stopped. Even the governor sent out, of course, his condolences and said what a tragic loss. And he had big commitment and service to that Riverside County community. And I know there's people listening to us on KCAA who would hear this, who are in Riverside. I've spent a lot of time in the Riverside area, and I looked at some of the video because they have body cams, and then there was people that were out there that saw what happened and how horrible it was. And there were bullet holes in the front windows of two patrol cars and large holes blown in the back windows. It looked like some kind of assault rifle. They don't know. There was also two people that were hurt. One was in another car, and one was hit by flying glass, but that was minor injuries. And boy, oh boy, just a routine, we think, some sort of a routine stop, but the traffic stop turns deadly. And when we have these discussions about what would you do, would you ever want that job? What's a job you would not want to do? And that would be the job I would not want to do. And so I salute the people who do it, because now more than ever, when you pull someone over, who knows what you're encountering? How does this happen? It's just a pullover, and then you've got an officer dead, others wounded. Very, very frightening. And that's what you do for a living. Imagine. All right, we don't have to imagine what happened to Jeffrey Epstein, but now we have new information. Are you shocked, if you haven't heard this, that some guards falsified the logs? That the two guards, in fact, who did that have been suspended, and the warden has been reassigned from that Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York? So the two guards who were supposed to be watching him were sleeping. They decided they would nod off. He was supposed to be checked on by a guard every 30 minutes. The checks weren't done for several hours. And then, of course, they eventually find him on Saturday morning. We know there's an investigation going on, so, of course, that turned up, and they had all of that on video, and then they had the falsified information in the logs. The exact manner of Epstein's death really isn't official. Hasn't been announced anyway. And they discovered him. The bed sheet was supposedly around his neck, all that kind of stuff. So what would you assume it would be? Could it be that there was a payoff so nobody looked, and that's what he did, especially after the information that started to flow on Friday that would implicate a lot of very powerful men in all kinds of walks of life? Very familiar to me in a different way of the Heidi Fleiss deal, which happened a long, long time ago, if you remember that, the book with all the names in it. However, that's a madam, and that's prostitution. This was underage girls trafficking. There were all kinds of wild allegations that they really had him, frankly, dead to rights, excuse the expression. And now it's the victims who get jammed up in all this while it gets sorted out as to what happened with the guards and, oh, they had to do extra shifts and now people are working areas they shouldn't even have to work. Whatever the accountability is, there's got to be some accountability for what happened. And the fact that he was being held without bail on federal sex trafficking charges that would have brought, or could have anyway, 45 years in prison. It's terrible. And will any of his associates face charges for assisting him? I mean, they're saying rampant sexual abuse of girls as young as 14. Imagine your 14-year-old daughter somehow gets whisked off the streets, convinced of something that is so incorrect, but they have no idea. And in many of these cases, that's exactly, supposedly, what would have happened. So Rudy Giuliani had something to say about it. I heard him somewhere today, and he said there's probably 50 very important people who have a motive to kill him. That's what the former mayor of New York City told Fox News' America's newsroom. He didn't say any names or anything, but he said, you know, there's a lot of people in trouble because of Epstein, and there's tremendous motive to kill him. Could he have been in danger from other prisoners? I mean, child predator, you are a target in prison. But remember, there was the separation. Who knows if that wasn't, somebody wasn't put in the cell, that happens. I mean, we don't know. It sounds to me, though, like an episode of Damages, if you ever saw that, where mysteriously, oh, he killed himself. It's suicide. All those new documents? Wow. So what are you going to do? The investigation rolls, and we'll see what they decide. Ultimately the prisons decide is going to be the next right move. It's not good. Speaking of right moves, since we have a couple of minutes left here as we crack things open, how about these crazy protests in Hong Kong, shutting down the airport? And I say they're crazy, but the people don't want the communist China to lay down their way of life on them. And while that's going on, speaking of China, as we saw the market really drop in the beginning of the week, the U.S. decides to delay tariffs on some Chinese goods. That means for you and me, you got to do your Christmas shopping before December 15th, because if they don't solve this crisis, December 15th, thousands of products, clothing, footwear, all of that, would be subject to the tariffs, because that would be foisted on the American public, since it would be cell phones and laptops and all kinds of consumer goods. But the U.S. Trade Representative's office said the decision happened after China's Ministry of Commerce said Vice Premier Liu had a phone conversation with our trade officials, and so they've gone in a different direction. This is interesting, but it certainly saves the economy, because it was hitting the economy, and now there's more time to try to make this deal happen. My take next on the weather.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. Exclusions apply.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO11 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO11 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO11 to 350350.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now. Anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
In 1965, this was the sound. What is this done? One more time. One more time. One more time. Where is she? Metal drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
It's a wrap with Kate's Take.
Yes, how hot is it in your neighborhood? I joked about it the other day. In fact, when Mr. Kate Delaney came on the show, we did a little lightning round of how hot is it jokes. There are so many. I think the best one, frankly, was it's so hot, all the ants are on fire. Oof, I hate fire ants. So everybody complains about the weather, but I just have to say, isn't it always warm in the summertime? Isn't it always a little hot? Frankly, in the great state of Texas, where I live and where I fly out of to go to all parts of the United States, I have to say it's been, knock on wood, a pretty mild summer, even though somebody threw us all in the frying pan lately. Certainly in the southeast, there's some crazy temperatures. Here's what Bob Orvec had to say.
Some of the hottest temperatures east of the desert areas are going to be across Texas. Southern and central Texas temperatures will be over 100 degrees, 100 to 105 degrees. And there will be equally hot temperatures, or not as hot, but still hot temperatures farther to the east into the southeast, where temperatures are going to be in the upper 90s.
All right, so by the way, Bob is all about predicting the weather. He's a senior branch forecaster of the variety that you want to talk to at NOAA. That'd be NOAA. So he was asked about it, and you look at the heat index, and you look at the places where it's particularly hot. And I have to tell you, big whiners, It is hot in the summer. Listen, how would you have liked to be around on July 10th, 1913? You know what? That was the day when it was a whopping 134 degrees. Yes. Now, I can understand if they whined. You know how they used to dress back in 1913? Death Valley. There's a reason it was called Death Valley. It's hot. It's dry. It's the lowest place in North America. The average highs in the summer month in barren salt flats hit about 100 degrees constantly. The number of consecutive days with temperatures of 100 or above, well, that was in the summer of 2001, 154 days. The summer of 1996 had 40 days over 120. Ooh, you can whine if it's 120. 105 days over 110. So who wants to be in Death Valley? Lots of people. The valley's low elevation, 282 feet below sea level. Because its long, narrow shape really pulls in that scorching summer heat. You can expect dry, cloudless air. There's no vegetation, for goodness sake. So what's going to happen to the sun? It's going to soak up the heat from that valley floor. I swear people lived there. They did. In 1911, the first permanent weather station was established at Furnace Creek Ranch. 1913, the weather station measured that record that we talked about, and it has not been beaten anywhere in the United States since. Now, in 1922, there was a place in Libya, El Aziza. The temperature there, 136. And then you look at nearby towns and they say, ooh, just as hot. So it is hell on earth when you go to Death Valley. If you go to Death Valley, you can complain. And please send me the video. And please take pictures because it is incredibly beautiful. But you're going to get extreme temperatures. It's rugged. It's bizarre. Its vistas are cool. Its mountaintops are amazing. Its sunsets and sunrises are exciting to see. At least through pictures, because I've never been there. But it's a basin. And of course, you can complain if you live in Death Valley. I don't know how many people live in Death Valley. So quit your whining. It's not 1913. There's ways to cool off. And the great news is, unlike when I lived for a brief time in Spain, we have ice in the United States of America, and you can go to any restaurant, including the fast food kind, and get tons of ice. There's ways to cool down, for goodness sake, in major metropolitan areas or even other places, small rural places, when it's too ridiculously hot, guess what they set up? Cooling stations. So you can go to a cooling station. And what happens in the South and the Midwest when you get gripped by the heat? You go swimming. And if you can't go swimming, what do you find? The hose. I saw a great photograph of kids having the best time ever in what they call a splash pad at Riverview Park in North Augusta in South Carolina. Because in Augusta, Georgia, well, you know, and I know you're all listening to me, it's hot. In Texas, it's hot. Heat advisories are up, 117 degrees. Yes, we know it. But there's places to cool off, for goodness sake. I even saw a great photograph of a construction crew who were working that had an umbrella, a sun umbrella, on their boom lift. They were working on an apartment building in New Orleans. They seemed like they were having a good time. They deal with the heat, right? And you know when you're in construction, it's never going to be fun in the summertime. That's why you sometimes get extra do-re-mi. So it's about cooling off. And luckily for all of us, it's not 1913, and we're not in Death Valley. There are water fountains to be had. There are hoses. There are places to cool off. thank goodness, because you can beat the heat. Unlike our ancestors, who, if we look back at history, didn't seem to whine about much, although they never smiled in their black and white photos. Maybe they were hot, but they didn't complain about it that we know of. They just fanned themselves with the Chinese fans that they imported that weren't subject to tariff at that point, or at least not one that was out of sight. So they were able to have access to such things. They found their own ways to keep cool. So my take, stop complaining about the heat. There are plenty of ways to beat the heat that you and I all know about. And if for some reason you don't understand what to do when you get crazy, crazy heat in your neck of the woods, send me an email to katedelaneyradio.com and I'll tell you ways that you can keep cool. You don't have to go it alone. There are ways that you can cool off, I promise you, and they're all pretty good. From popsicles, cheap fix, to umbrellas, to cool spots, when you've got, again, when you've got the fear of the heat gripping your family and your neighborhood, what do you do? Hey, listen, I can tell you that they told us to turn down our energy in Texas because the electric load was insane. ERCOT, which manages 90% of the Texas electric load, said they set a new all-time peak demand record on Monday between 4 and 5. The high temperatures, of course, demand electric response. So the electricity rate was out of this world. Part of 13 states under heat advisories. Do you want me to name them? Texas, Louisiana, Florida, Missouri, Illinois, Nashville. They were complaining about the heat in Nashville. 107. Mississippi. Ooh, heat stroke weather. Crazy heat. The city, guess what they did? In Mississippi, in Clarksdale, they opened cooling centers. That's what you do. They say, just go in. You can get some relief. Go into the library. Go into some other places. You don't have to be a victim. In Atlanta, same thing. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, Memphis, Tennessee, and Little Rock, I feel you, but stop complaining. You're not in Death Valley. It's not 1913. That's my take. Hang with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says he and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell are working on toughening gun background check laws.
Good man, he wants to do something, he wants to do it. I think very strongly he wants to do background checks, and I do too, and I think a lot of Republicans do. I don't know, frankly, that the Democrats will get us there.
House Majority Leader Maryland Democrat Steny Hoyer says there's a House-passed bill that addresses exactly that.
Let's catch every terrorist who wants to buy a gun. Let's catch every criminal who wants to buy a gun. Let's catch everybody who's had a mental health problem that wants to buy a gun.
Stocks rallied today after President Trump delayed imposing 10% tariffs on some imported Chinese goods. The Dow is up 372 points, the S&P 500 up 42, and the NASDAQ up 152. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I'm loving my Balance of Nature. Since I started, I have not gotten one cold. I kind of fight everything. I get a little tickled, but it goes away.
It's just amazing the difference I felt. I want you to know how much I appreciate the counseling and so forth and your attention to your people. I have been a pretty big advocate for the Balance of Nature. I don't know how many truck drivers have asked me, how in the heck do you keep going at 88, 89 years old? I said, Balance of Nature. If they want to really enjoy some good health, get on Balance of Nature.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Welcome back to America Tonight. In our virtual green room, Mike Eaton. He's the CEO and founder of Hero Clean, and he joins us now in this edition of It's Your Business. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Hero Clean, and I guess the gist of it is how men can be cleaning heroes. So explain that, because, of course, you know, a lot of alarm bells are going off right now as this leaves my lips. So tell
exactly.
us about the company and what that means.
So about 4 years ago, I found myself in the laundry detergent aisle and going down the aisle and opening up the bottles and smelling them all and buying the least offensive smelling one I could find. And it dawned on me. I was like, this is ridiculous. I don't use women's deodorant. I don't use women's shampoo. Why am I being forced to clean my clothes and my home with products that are essentially formulated and fragranced for women? And I thought, it's curious that there aren't any cleaning products lines for men. And so I started doing a little research on kind of what was going on with men in the country as well. And right now in the United States, 47% of the adult male population in this country is single. And it's growing at double-digit clips every decade.
Wow.
And so between that and the fact that 43% of all household chores are being done by men in married households, 42% of all grocery is now being purchased by guys, just between 70 and 100 million guys walking into grocery stores and walking down the cleaning products aisle, and there's absolutely nothing there that speaks to them, that's formulated for them, that's created for them. And so as a single guy at the time, I was like, you know what? I want this. No one seemed willing to build it, and so I built it myself. So I created a cleaning products line for guys that really kind of is formulated and fragranced, et cetera, for the sensibilities of how guys clean and what they like, and the packaging's masculine, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of basically just copied what everyone is doing down in the personal care aisle on deodorant and shampoo and all of that and translated over in the cleaning products aisle. And that's kind of how Hero was born.
So when you first delved into this, and you had a background in this kind of thing as far as brand marketing and even sponsorships in some cool arenas.
Yep.
So it wasn't like it was a completely foreign concept to you. But is that what happens because you've worked with brands before? Like, wow, what a great idea, and it pops into your head as you realize.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The last 10 years of my career, I was kind of looking at entertainment properties and sports properties and trying to figure out how to make more money off them, so to speak. You know, I'm just kind of wired trying to figure out, well, maybe there's a different way to do things. And so, I don't know, it just kind of dawned on me in the grocery store. And selfishly, it was kind of the Donna Karan little black dress kind of business model as well, is that nobody was willing to build it. And so I built it myself because I wanted it, you know, and I didn't like what I was using to clean my clothes. I didn't like the way they smelled. I didn't like the cleaning products I was using because they were my mom's cleaning products. So I wanted to build something for myself, and that's what I did.
Wow. And when you go out and you set out to build something for yourself, how does that process start? Because I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. So we, I had some friends who launched a sun care line, and they hooked me up with their fragrance house. And in talking to them and having this discussion, I'm like, I need somebody to help me formulate these products. They introduced me to a chemist, and kind of one thing led to the other, and he helped me kind of put together the original formulation line and introduced me to some contract manufacturers that kind of helped us kind of get off the ground. And since then, one relationship has led to another relationship, and, you know, a couple years later, we're now working with the world's top ingredients companies, manufacturing companies, fragrance companies, et cetera. You know, and since we've seen some success in the market, we actually have some first-to-market technologies in our product because we have such an interesting story and an interesting demographic that we're going after. There's a little bit of a groundswell of interest at the very high levels of some of these major companies just because we're kind of a new shiny toy in the cleaning products business where there aren't a lot of shiny toys.
And what's been the reaction to men that you tell it to and you see this product start to spread? What's been the reaction?
So, you know, interestingly enough, 50-year-old plus men don't get it. They're like, I don't even understand. Like, why would I need this product? You know, blah, blah, blah. Anyone in their 20s and early 30s immediately gets it. They're like, oh, my God, why doesn't this exist? So it's a very kind of generational differentiated reaction. But the group that we're going after is that, you know, those kids that just got out of college, first home, first job, up through kind of their mid-30s is our sweet spot. And the reaction has been absolutely fantastic because they come from a generation where customization and stuff made for them and, you know, they can put their names on their Nikes and order them directly. And so repurposing products from a different era and a different target demographic is not as welcomed as it had been in previous generations. And so we're kind of hitting on something with these guys that they seem to be open to.
Of all the products that you design, what's your favorite?
The odor eliminating spray, by far. It's interesting. So we launched at Target a year ago and sold our first bottle at Target. And Target's obviously got a different demographic in their stores in that it's very female-oriented. But the one demographic that kind of we also know that if we're going to be a successful brand, we need to get women to buy this as well. There are no products out there right now that moms can spray on little Johnny's hockey equipment where everybody's going to be happy. So if little Johnny's hockey equipment doesn't smell well and she goes and smell good and she sprays Febreze on it, little Johnny's not going to be very happy. Our odor eliminating spray was purchased 60% by women in Target because it's the only spray in Target right now that doesn't smell like flowers. And so we're seeing an interesting kind of market grow in that there are odor issues out there that there aren't a lot of solutions that aren't floral based. And so we've seen a lot of success with that odor eliminating spray. The reason I love the product myself, it is so easy to use, and it's kind of our delay mechanism. So if you have something that doesn't smell great and you just kind of want to freshen it up a little bit, whether it's hockey equipment, your tennis shoes, sheets, a t-shirt, just spray it with this stuff. It smells great. We've got technologies in our new odor eliminating spray. We've got a microbe in it. It's a probiotic microbe that starves bacteria. So the odor odor is really the bacteria, so it doesn't allow the bacteria to grow because it has nothing to feed off of, and then it prevents it from ever growing down the road. So there's some really cool, interesting technologies we have in these products that really kind of lead to how guys clean and, you know, the clean, delay male cleaning regimen. This odor eliminating spray is that mechanism where you can continue to not clean and still have the appearance of cleanliness.
I love it. The appearance of cleanliness. So as somebody who knows how to market this kind of stuff, I mean, that's in your real house. I know that you can get it on Amazon. What made you decide on the packaging and how you were going to make it available to people?
So there's a couple things. Right now, our product line out in the marketplace, it's four different products. It's a laundry detergent, a dish and hand soap, an all-purpose cleaner, and the odor eliminating spray that we discussed. The product line was put together to mimic a male cleaning regimen of that clean, delay. This is the least number of products you would need to clean everything. And our products are multi-use. You can use them on everything, and they're not going to hurt anything. So, for example, you know, the major cleaning companies would love to have you buy 17 different spray cleaners to clean every little different surface. Like, you need one for wood and tile and marble, and it's all the same stuff, basically. And so our all-purpose cleaner you can use on every surface. Our dish and hand soap, it's great on hands, it's great on dishes, it's a good grease cutter if you need to make soapy water to wash your car, mop your floor. It's all very flexible. We spent a lot of time trying to figure out, all right, how can we make this guy easy, simplify this whole process if guys don't clean a lot and they're kind of confused with those myriad of products down there. From a packaging standpoint, we wanted to make sure that it felt very male. So we have a new branding and packaging look that's launching actually next week. And the products that are out in the marketplace right now are very kind of modeled after automotive looking products. And we had a lot of reaction from the retailers that it looks a little too automotive. And so our new packaging is going to be dark. It's going to be very much like Axe and Nivea for men and Dove for men, Plus Care for men. So we have like gunmetal gray bottles and the labels are black with carbon fiber texture in it. And so we went super aggressive. So when somebody walks down the cleaning products aisle, they look at our brand, they're going to know it's for guys because it looks so different than anything else in that aisle. And we're really just trying to make that connection to say, you know, hey, listen, if you walk down the personal care aisle, you kind of get a sense that everything's going dark and manly and all that with the men's personal care products. We're just recreating that in the cleaning products aisle.
I love it. And, you know, you're a kid who grew up this way, right? Your father worked for Procter & Gamble for like four decades?
He was a career Procter & Gamble guy, for sure. Yeah, he's been retired for 18, 19 years, and kind of the running joke in the family is, Dad, I'm trying to ruin your retirement. For some reason, he doesn't feel threatened at the moment, but hopefully we can change that.
He's not threatened. I love it. Here's another thing I want to make sure that I tell everyone.
Yeah.
So for hero-clean.com is where you go, but also a portion of what you make goes to veterans. Tell me about that part.
Yeah, so we wanted to be a company that, you know, obviously creates great products. We're trying to create a new category in the cleaning products aisle, but we also want to give back. And when the brand started evolving in the hero name and the star, it just screamed military. And so back when I was putting this all together, a friend of a friend was starting a charity called the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. There's a guy named Paul Rykoff, and he's ex-military, Wall Street, fireball. I mean, super, you know, he's the Energizer Bunny. And he created this charity that really focuses on a lot of PTSD issues. They're very involved in a lot of the government regulations as far as the VA hospitals. And he's one of those guys who's sitting in senator and house member offices all the time. And he was just getting off the ground when we were getting off the ground. We sat down, we met, and we have very similar views of our respective worlds as far as disruption and there's a different way to do this and all of that. And it just kind of clicked. And so we've been partnered with them. We give 7% of our net sales to them, and we bring them to our retailer meetings. So, for example, Paul and I are actually going up and sitting down with the senior management of Target in a few weeks to come up with new ways that they can help veterans that work at Target and their guests that are also vets. So we want to be one of those companies that doesn't just write a check. We want them to be a part of the fabric of our company. And so we're doing that on a daily basis, trying to figure out new and better ways for our brand to also help them, as well as try to make it a successful run for us.
I love it. love it. Check it out. Mike Eaton, CEO and founder of Hero Clean. Mike, thanks.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. That bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930. That's 800-590-4930.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
I'll tell you what, this book really caught my eye. It jumped out at me. In fact, I blew something off over the weekend so that I could get further through it. It's called We Are Market Basket, the story of the unlikely grassroots movement that saved a beloved business. And, you know, we do so much of business here on America Tonight. We're talking about small businesses and getting connected to people and community. Market Basket is incredibly connected to their community, both in and out of the store. Daniel Corson, one of the authors of that book, joins us now. He's in our virtual green room. And Daniel, this story, Market Basket, for people who don't know, in the Northeast, really in the New England area, how many Market Basket stores are there?
At the moment, they've got about 75 stores, yeah, in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and one in Maine.
Wow. And what happened was, this is a family business. And so the CEO, who was the beloved CEO, suddenly, because of some infighting with his family, and I'll let you flush that a little bit more, ended up being bounced. And it really changed the way business happened at the supermarket chain, didn't it?
Oh,
yeah, sure. The whole thing turned upside down, and this company was shut down. It's almost $5 billion company now. And the CEO, Arthur T. Demoulas, the T is important because he was fired by his cousin, Arthur S. Demoulas. And Arthur T. was running this company for nearly a decade. By all accounts, the company was running on all cylinders, really performing well, growing fast. And then his cousin, who happened to be a majority shareholder, he led the side of the family who were majority shareholders, decided that they wanted to cash out. And people knew that this was going to change the way that this company operated, as it had since 1917. So they saw that he was really, Arthur T., the CEO, was the only obstacle in this plan. And so they fired him, and that's what started this whole protest movement that spanned three states.
Wow. And the protest movement meant that the people working there said, we're not going to do this, and basically went out and started picketing and all that sort of thing. And the community did too as well, right?
That's the amazing thing, is how quickly this thing spread. It started with a very small core of mostly executives who were very upset. They were so close with this man. And they said, we don't want to work here unless he's our CEO. And then it quickly spread to people in the warehouse, truck drivers who refused to send shipments out. It spread to the stores where employees at every level of this company, management and frontline workers all together, were really united around this. And then it continued to spill into customers, and there was 2 million people boycotted this store for 6 weeks. They took their business elsewhere. It didn't even stop there, because it also went to suppliers, and many of the suppliers, some of them with multi-million dollar accounts that absolutely depend on Market Basket for their business's survival, they said, until Arthur T's back, we're not doing business with you anymore. It's the most incredible thing I've ever come across in my years in academia and studying business.
Yeah, I just think it's an incredibly powerful story and speaks to company culture. So what does that say about Market Basket's company culture?
Yeah, it has a very unique company culture, and I think there's a lot to admire there. I mean, one thing they do is they really take care of their people as family. And a lot of companies say that, but this company has this rare quality about it where so many employees, they give their colleagues rides. When people face a hardship, which all of us do, people at this company tend to rally around each other and help each other out. Sometimes it's, a loan or something. Sometimes it's a ride. And a lot of this is coming from the CEO himself. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of the CEO going to the funeral service when an assistant manager at one of the stores has a loved one who dies. So maybe like their mother dies or something. Arthur T. shows up at the funeral service for maybe 5 or 10 minutes just to make an appearance and pay his respects, and then he's off. But those kind of small little gestures go such a long way at this company.
And so now, well, first of all, a couple of things. They've obviously built that sense of family, like you say, and there's no doubt. And that continues, by the way, because you have a lot of families that work for Market Basket, right? Like a mother, maybe her kid, maybe a cousin. It also becomes that weave of family inside, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I've also met a lot of people who they'll have multiple people in the family who were working at this company. And people like that, during this protest, they were shutting down the company. They were basically saying, we don't know if this company is going to end up shutting down, partly even because of this protest. So they had a ton to risk. I mean, they put everything on the line. They're, three, four, five people in their own family that are putting their jobs on the line for this. So it was a tremendous sacrifice.
What's Arthur T doing now?
Arthur T. is back in control. Because of the protest, he was able to take back control of the company and purchase the shares of that other side. The other side had intended to sell it to a big supermarket conglomerate based in Belgium, but they obviously lost interest as this protest continued, and that opened up the road for Arthur T. to purchase those shares. So now he's in full control. They're growing like crazy. A lot of people that had never heard of Market Basket before, even people living in the area, are saying, what's this all about?
Right. So So it was almost like advertising for them, right?
And, you know, in a sense, it really did. It piqued a lot of people's curiosity. You know, I mean, I had shopped there a lot myself, and I have a lot of family members who are big fans and part of this almost cultish devotion to the company. But I never really fully appreciated it myself either until I started studying it. And now, you know, I see things there, and I just appreciate it so much. You just being in the store, there's a certain energy in the place. There's you know, there's a lot of interaction between employees and customers. Like, I mean, this will amaze a lot of people. First of all, they have people in the aisles all the time, so there's always people to ask, which I'm sure many of your listeners will be, you know, will think when the last time they were in the supermarket, how difficult it is just to find someone to ask where that pie crust is, right? That's what always happens to me when my wife sends me out for a pie crust, and, you know, there are different types. There's a frozen type, of this, and there's never anybody to ask. So it's it really can be frustrating from a customer. And at the checkout aisle, almost all those checkouts are open. They all have two people working there, two-person teams. There's one person at the cash register. There's another bagging groceries. So you go into the store, and you feel like you're getting a personal sort of one-on-one attention. And they've stripped out all of the technology, any technology that runs counter to that idea, they've stripped out. So you don't see the automated checkout counters. Those don't appear at this store because they believe that it takes away from that one-on-one sort of experience.
Yeah, so cool. And also, it's like you say, that one-on-one experience. So there is that sense of originality, I bet, is what it's all about.
That's right. Yeah, they follow their own drummer, so to speak, and that played out in this protest as well. And is that when everyone in the world, and I have to admit, you know, I'm ashamed to admit now, even myself included, I said, you know, this, I admire what they're trying to do, but they're not going to be able to succeed at getting back control of this company. But they said, to their credit, they said, we have to get this done. We're going to find a way to get it done. It doesn't matter that the textbooks say you can't go again. Against the board's decision to fire a CEO. We want our CEO back. This is our company. And that's what they did, and they pulled it off.
We're speaking with Daniel Korshan. He's one of the authors, of a really awesome book called We Are Market Basket, the story of the unlikely grassroots movement that saved a beloved business, no question about it. As you mentioned, you're in academia, and you're at Drexel. So when you're teaching students or talking with students, do you use this as an example?
Oh, I'm just about to. My poor students are going to get a quiz on it in a matter of hours. So you'll see what the response is. But yes, I mean, I brought this into my class. There's so much to learn from this case. I mean, from my standpoint, a lot of it starts with what's a company in business for in the first place, anyway. You know, a hundred years ago, economists used to see business as a way to serve society, and somewhere along the way in the last 100 years, I don't know exactly how, but we've sort of lost sight of that, and we've gotten so focused on the profit generating goal of companies that we've really lost sight of what companies are really there for. And this company, I think, is one of a few models that we have now of companies that say, yes, we're in a sort of mundane business. It's not one that's really exciting to people, the supermarket business, but there's a real importance to this. I mean, we're helping people, and through low prices at the store, through the way that they serve customers, give everyone a lot of respect, the way they deal with employees, there's an importance to this company in the community, and we saw when there was a danger of that company being taken away, you see how people said, no, this is something important. We need to keep this here.
Wow. It's an incredible story. Daniel, thanks so much. Good luck with the book. And Drexel, my mother went to Drexel. I grew up outside of Philadelphia, so go Drexel.
It's a lot of fun to teach here. Thanks a lot.
Cool. Thank you.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on the plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.